Hi, I'm Dr. Jillian Murphy, a naturopath, healthy-ish lifestyle architect, body joy seeker, and French fry activist. And you're listening to 100% Healthy-ish. Here's the thing. As a naturopath and an intuitive eating, health at every size health coach, I have seen every angle and end of the health conversation. And after years of clinical and coaching experience, I've developed a framework for feeling good and having fun that I know you're gonna love. To be healthy-ish, we move beyond the boring basics and consider some ish you have never thought of before when it comes to your health. Are you ready? It's gonna be fun. Let's go. Welcome back. As predicted, I said I was going to take a break for the summer last week, but I did. I recorded this episode, and it's just so good and relatable. And I feel like there are so many people that are in this boat, whether they've had this conversation with their partner or not. So the way that this episode came about, I talk a little bit about it when we get into the episode, but I got a message from Erin in my DMs, and she was sort of saying, I'm doing really well. I'm following along with this healthy-ish idea that you have. I love it. I'm eating differently. I'm taking care of my body differently. I'm feeling differently about my body overall. But when I asked my husband about it, he admitted honestly that he prefers me thinner. And I don't know what to do with that. And obviously, that's a big question to answer in Instagram DMs. And I was about to sort of tackle it with voice notes. And then I thought, you know, this is something that comes up frequently. So I just, instead of answering her question, I just got back to her and sort of said, would you be okay coming on the podcast? And I don't know her. I've interacted with her on Instagram many times and she seemed great, but it's always so interesting when you don't know someone, you don't know what the conversation's going to be like, but it was just so great. It was a really great conversation with someone who is like doing the work to feel differently in and about her body and really up against this very real, valid, big challenge. So this is us talking that through. Last thing, just a reminder that the birthday sale is still happening. I'm planning to shut it down later this week. Essentially, it was my birthday on Saturday. I put up a small number of spots for Healthy-ish Blueprints at 50% off. So this is, you know, the full intake experience, 90 minutes with me, all the forms, the eating assessment, you know, doing all of the things where I help gather as much information about you and who you are and how your body operates as possible. Then I go away and I craft a blueprint that is so specific to you and so holistic that we're connecting the dots between all of these areas of your life, from food to movement to supplements, to clothing, space, sensuality, cycles, energy. How do you manage all of those things in a really unique way that is perfect for you? This is about helping you stop throwing spaghetti at the wall, trying to figure out what's going to make you feel better. It's about, you know, not buying supplements late at night on Instagram or Googling keto recipes until you fall asleep. It's about honing in on what your body most needs and figuring out what the barriers are for you to doing them. So that is like my specialty. I've been a naturopathic doctor for 14 years. I have done this specific anti-diet work for 10, and that is my specialty. So if it is something you have been considering doing, please, please, please check out the link in my bio, grab yourself a spot. They will never be more affordable than this. Okay, I have Erin here. And just to set this podcast up, because it's sort of an unusual circumstance, usually when I have guests on, I have like sought them out or I've put a call out for people who are looking to do a session on the podcast. But I got a DM from Erin on Instagram and I just thought, first of all, the question was a big one. And second of all, it's a like unfortunately too common question that pops up. And so I thought, well, instead of just going back and forth on Instagram, why don't we record a podcast about it? And you agreed, which was really, really generous and kind. So thank you for being here. And why don't you tell us what you messaged me about?
So I messaged you about something that often keeps me really, really stuck in trying to become healthy-ish. I have a history of eating disorder. I have a history of really not having a good relationship with food in my body. But something that keeps me very stuck is that when I met my husband, who we've been married 17 years, I was in a much smaller body. And I was in a much smaller body because I was restricting and probably in the midst of an eating disorder without even realizing it. And so we met. I've never been in a thin body. I would never consider myself as in a thin body ever. Right now I'm in kind of a mid-sized body, but so it was thin and thin for me. And then I gained some weight because we got married and I let back on restriction. Actually, I went to the other IDGAF side and I gained some weight.
That's the I don't give up era for those who haven't caught that podcast episode, which is very normal when we've been in restriction for a lot of years. Yeah. Sorry to interrupt.
It's okay. And so I will have to say, and I want to be really clear as I talk through this, that I have a wonderful husband who loves me very much. And anytime I've ever gotten feedback on my body size, it's because I've asked for it. And I've asked for it because I was worried about it, right? So I remember distinctly, we were at dinner one night, we had just gotten married, we didn't have our child yet. And I said, are you okay with my bigger body? You know, and he was like, I prefer you smaller. And it was that moment of like the walls come crashing down and you think, I have to do something about this. And this was really before I knew that there was another choice. Like, I just thought my whole life was about restricting to get into a smaller body. I really didn't know there was another option up until about 5 years ago when I started trying to recover from all of this. So I went on a diet and I got some weight off and then everybody was happy, right? Although he's never to this day given me any feedback like, you're getting big, you're smaller, I like that more, ever. He's just not that kind of person. So then I had a child and then I restricted again and got to my very, very smallest body. And then was dealing with binge eating disorder for sure. And then went into, I can't do this anymore. And IDGAF for sure. And now I'm in the healthy-ish space. But I would have to say that, so my struggle is I feel badly because I'm in a different body than my husband knew me in when we got married. And I know that for him, he would prefer me in a smaller body. And I've been thinking a lot about this and thinking he's swimming in the same diet culture that we are.
Yeah.
Men are swimming in that same soup all the time. And my husband was born in 1968. Like this was the deal. You needed to be fit. You needed to be thin. You needed to be curvy, and that was the ideal. And it still is, right? Mm-hmm. The ideal body just changes. So trying to get that nice medium between, I am in a very healthy space right now, and I don't intend to restrict anymore. And then kind of contending with, I know he wishes partly that I were in a smaller body, and I can't give him that.
Mm-hmm. And that's all because of that one comment that he responded to many years ago, or has that conversation happened again?
I asked him again when I went off the diets and I was like, look, I can't do this anymore. Here's why. And I remember the conversation exactly where we were. And I said, how would you feel if my body changed? And he was like, I think that I would prefer you smaller, And if you gained a lot of weight, I think that I might be embarrassed. And that's just like another like stab to the heart, right? Now, I'm thinking, he's thinking like, I'm out of control. I'm not in a healthy body. I'm large, so large that I can't like move around, you know, but I don't know. But again, I asked the question and I got a truthful answer. Mm-hmm. And I know for me, there are men in bodies I'm not particularly attracted to. So I think, who am I to say that he's not right, or he's not validated, or he doesn't have a say as well?
Interesting. Yeah. So how does that impact you at the moment? Like, how does that play out? I mean, I know that you said you're living in this like healthy-ish space right now, but how does that impact you?
I feel like I carry around a lot of burden and guilt.
Mm-hmm.
And it impacts me sometimes feeling like I want to hide. Like, I know I'm in a bigger body. I kind of want to hide. I kind of still want to restrict. I kind of want to lose weight. And I know the road that leads me down, and it's not a good road. So it's interesting, because in the last couple of months, when I've really started the healthiest journey, I've gotten a lot more comfortable with my body and comfortable in my body. And the other day he said, I can tell in the last couple of months, you're happier. And I was like, isn't that what he's really looking for?
Yeah.
He's not looking for someone to hide. He's not looking for someone to mope around and be like, I'm too big. He's looking for me to be my best, most radiant self. And when I'm able to show that, he's responsive to that.
Right.
So
right.
Is it that men are really looking for someone thin, or is it they're looking for someone healthy and vibrant?
Mm-hmm. And yeah. And like all humans, are carrying around inherent fat phobia and also fear of change, which is just big for everyone. Yeah. There's so many good things to talk about. I'm like furiously scribbling notes. Furiously scribbling notes. Because I almost don't know where to start, because I feel like there's so many great things in here. So the first thing I just want to say about this conversation, because I think that like, it's clear, right? This comment is putting a tiny bit of a ceiling on your recovery, right? Like the moment there's this pressure to be in a different body, the already common and normal impulses to want to reach for restriction or a thinner body when we're feeling uncomfortable or bad or down on ourselves gets amplified by 1,000%, you know? And so it's impacting you, right? It impacts you. And so the two pieces of this are like, what is the systemic cultural issue and what is the Aaron issue? Like, what's the responsibility here, right? Because I just want to make sure that anytime I'm working with someone on a one-on-one basis, we're going to talk a lot about what you can do, what you can do to change things. And the reality is, you already kind of hit on it. Like, what's your husband doing to change things? Because I bet if we were to ask him, and this is like a tricky framing, I don't want to say anything, but if your body were to change for another reason, like let's say you were in a car accident, or there was an injury, or, you know, one of these things happens, like wild things happen in life to human beings. You lost a limb, there was a different ism applied to you. I am 100% sure that he would say, I would love her the same. And I would find a way to work with that change in her body.
Yep.
Aging and weight gain are also part of the human experience, right? And it's only because he's living in a fat phobic world and has a lot of internalized fat phobia that he believes this in the first place, that this is such a big thing in the first place. And like what I've seen, two big things that I've seen in this work in the number of years that I've done it, is that for the most part, it's a bit of a generalization, but women have been much more impacted by the ideal body storyline than men have to date. I know that that is always in flux and changing, but women have been, in terms of like eating disorders, like even still in the eating disorder recovery work that I do, it's predominantly women that are in it. Women are mostly impacted, and then like are also carrying the burden of like fixing the way they feel about their bodies.
Yes.
And so particularly in heterosexual relationships, it's not the same in a relationship where two women are paired up. Both of them are doing the work.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean it's always easy, but both of them tend to be doing the work and struggling with like, you know, really exploring and getting curious about how they feel in their bodies and what that meaning is and what's the purpose of it, right? But for the most part in heterosexual relationships, only one person is doing the work.
Yeah.
We need both partners doing the work because, like you said, he's been impacted, you know, and is he mixing up his social media feed? Is he reading things? Is he listening to podcasts on end to teach him something different about weight and health? Of course not.
No.
You know? And so I think that we need to put like a little bit of the burden or a lot of the burden, 50% of the burden, back on the partners and go, you know, I can understand if you've only been fed one definition of beauty and one definition of sexiness and one definition of, you know, what's attractive or desirable. And if you haven't really explored that, that this is what you might think. But like what you find desirable and attractive is highly manipulatable. It's highly subjective. And it often is defined by what we see repeatedly. So how do we change that? We start to get him seeing more bodies and telling a different story. So there's that. There was something else. Let me just look through my notes because there was one other thing where I was like, and the other thing, which you also touched on, but in many heterosexual relationships, the men are also not fully aware of what being in a thin body was costing you.
Right.
Even when, and I love that you actually sat him down to talk about that. But I just, for those who are listening, there are so many times when I'm working with women in heterosexual relationships where I'm like, you have to go back and sit your partner down and like really thoroughly explain and help them understand what that was costing you. Because even if you think parts of it were obvious, I guarantee you it was not, because it's not on their radar in the same way. And we actually do an enormously good job of like keeping it under wraps in our brains.
And the time that I sat him down and said, I'm not going to diet anymore. And I said, I was starving. And he was like, you're starving? He had no idea.
No idea.
And almost like, why would you do that? Why would you starve yourself? It's not in the process. Like why would he understand that?
Yeah. You know? And really explaining, like, I really ask women to go into a lot of detail, like what were the thought processes for you over the course of the day? What did it look like trying to go on holiday or enjoying a dinner out? What were all of these things like for you? What were the physical health ramifications of that for you? What were the mental, emotional, like, I have to give this up because it's slowly killing me. And not only is it slowly killing me, but like, just being honest about like, maybe, you know, I don't know what the truth is for you, but for me, like my body doesn't even respond anymore. So even the things that I was doing 10 or 15 years ago, they wouldn't work now. I would have to be so much harder on myself.
That's true for me too. Yes.
Like this will ruin our lives if I continue down this road.
Yep.
Right?
Yes.
And then I think like, I know that you said that there are men that you're not attracted to. And I get that. Like I do get that. But I think that there's going to be people out in the world that we're that we're not attracted to, you know, but like the thing with a marriage is we meet at one point in our lives. And I bet there's a million things that are different about you than when you first met your partner. Right.
Yes.
And I think like part of the job of marriage is growing old together. And that means we change, you know, so, you know, you might not pluck a stranger off the street in a certain body and be like, I'm in love with you. But the reality is that like, we can't expect ourselves to be exactly the same as we were when we met in 1990 or like 2000 or whatever it was when you met your partner. it's been 23 years. Like, I don't know about you, but like my eyes are different. My skin is different. My hair is different. Like,
yes,
it's a big expectation to expect people to not only not gain weight, but not age or not physically alter when everything is working against us. And again, I just want to point out that for men, the aging storyline has been much kinder and much more flexible.
Yes.
Like men are way more allowed to get a belly and it's considered sexy for much, 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 much longer than women. You know, they're allowed to go gray in a totally different way. They're allowed, their skin's allowed to change. Like, and the storyline is they, in many ways, just get sexier or more mature or whatever, you know?
Right.
So
and
there's
it's
all of
interesting.
That.
I wanted to bring this out too, because my husband for a few years had some really harsh digestive issues.
Yeah.
And he dropped a ton of weight. And
Right.
He did not like his body because he felt frail and weak because he was very, very thin.
Mm.
And I watched this unfold and go, oh my gosh, this is a totally different standard. He feels frail and weak because he's thin. And if I was getting thinner in my more disordered days, I would be celebrating, right? And he had to work to gain weight back to feel like a man,
mm-hmm.
like
Mm-hmm.
whole and complete and not frail and not weak and like not like a wimp. And I was like, so this is where they both come into play. The men's side, it's not desirable to be too small.
Right.
And the women's side, it's not desirable to be too large.
Yeah. Yeah. So there are standards across the board for sure.
Yep.
Yeah, for sure.
And his family is, although most of the women in his family are in larger bodies, his family is very fat phobic. And that's what he grew up in.
Mm-hmm.
Still does, you know,
right.
As
right.
As
and I think that's like, you know, if there were other things about you that had changed that he was struggling with, but he wanted to stay married to you, then the answer would be, well, we have to just work on it. You know, like,
right.
So let's work on it, you know? And I think also working, not that we don't want to enjoy the way our partners look, but I also think that there is a shift from that really young love that's really lustful and very appearance-based and very surface level. So what I see happening in our marriage is like a different kind of comfortable, deeper intimacy that comes from being with someone who really knows you and
for
accepts
sure.
you. And it's like, how do we shift? How do we move back and forth between these things? And what does it look like to foster not just one kind of attraction, but like a different kinds of attraction in a relationship that's changing? So that's like the bigger stuff. And then I think like, there's also a piece of you, I'm sure me, that's like, okay, but like, how do you like do something to feel better? Because the reality is that he's just hit on in answering you truthfully, which is fair and fine, you know, he's really hit on the deepest worry that most people have in body image work, right? Because it tends to fall, the big worry that most women come to the table with, there's four main categories of worry that most women come with when they're asked by me to start working with their body from a place of acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
And the first is always, you know, but that just means I'm giving up. Like they mistake acceptance with apathy or ambivalence or sort like completely giving up, right? And
yeah.
They feel like, well, that means I'm always going to be in a terrible body, or I'll gain even more weight and everything will be worse, you know, like the internalized fat phobia really flares up. Or it'll be, I don't think I could ever accept myself in this body. And both of those things, by the way, start to change quite quickly for people, right? Like as they learn about the process and what the real work is, those things start to change. I feel like you've already felt that, like
I
you're getting
it.
to a place where you're changing how you feel about your body, right? And then
yes.
There's the what about health, you know, but what about health, which I hope that I'm addressing on this podcast all the time. And then the biggest thing, the deepest thing, the thing that is the hardest to change is, will others ever accept me or be okay with my body if it changes? And the thing that's so hard about that one is that we're not in control of other people. So we can shift our beliefs about health. We can come to a new understanding of what it means to take care of ourselves, and that acceptance can be the deepest form of self-care. We can start to shift the way we feel about our own bodies. But then the deepest piece is actually the toughest, because we're not in control.
Yes.
So the first thing though that I always say, and this was something that was said to me because I did this as well, is to stop asking other people how they feel about our body. Because I used to do this. I'd say, oh, I'm working out so hard. I don't feel great in my body. And then someone really close to me who I was saying it to would say, yeah, it's so weird. You exercise all the time. It's weird. You're not fit. And I would, it would like sucker punch me. And then I'd get angry because I'm like, fuck you. Like, I am fit. I'm super fit. And like, this was me in an even much smaller body. So it's even shocking to me now that anybody fed that back. But we have to remember that everyone is swimming in the soup of diet culture. And they are going to give a diet culture-y answer. And they're going to, even my own partner, when I was much younger, in an underweight body, when I'd say, when I was gaining weight as I was healing, I'd say, oh, I just want to feel better. And you know what he would feed back to me? Well, let's run a little bit more this week. Let's clean up our eating. He would just feed back the tools that diet culture have given us all.
Because that's
those are the only tools. Those are the only tools he had. Those were the only tools I had at that time. Yep. I didn't know how else to fix the uncomfortable feeling, right?
Yep.
So we have to stop asking people what they think of our bodies.
True.
Naomi Wolf writes about this in The Beauty Myth as well. She says, you know, when we continue to fixate on how other people feel about us, when we continue to like, I'm super paraphrasing here. When we continue to like try to mold or adapt ourselves into something that someone else finds beautiful, we take our self-esteem and we like pull it out of our body. So it's like outside of us and we leave it like exposed to the elements where it's like always vulnerable.
Yeah.
And the only way to start to change that is to like take it and put it back inside where you're the judge and the jury with regards to how good your body is.
Yes.
And that's and starting to separate a little, yeah, starting to separate a little bit. Like I have my work to do here and you have yours and I can't do your work.
Yeah.
Like I'm going to change how I feel about my body, which I feel like you're already doing, but I just want to mention that.
I'm in the very beginning stages. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think like there's a piece that's valid about that, but then I just believe at some point there's a piece that's just not like what other people feel about us is kind of none of our business, you know, even our partner, like,
true.
I mean, if he was commenting on something that was, again, if it was something that was ultimately changeable for you, that wasn't going to harm you in the effort to change, that's a different story. But like, it's like if you had an injury and you like, I don't know, had damage to some part of your body and he was like, you know, it's on you to try to fix that. Like that would be unfathomable, you know, but with this storyline, the fat phobic storyline is one of personal responsibility. And so there's a feeling of it's valid to comment on this because there's something you can and should be doing about it.
Yep.
And so when we dig into the deepest layers of that fat phobic storyline, it's like there is nothing that you could currently do exactly right now that you know of that won't be harmful to you that will land you in that thinner body at the moment.
Yes. Yes.
So,
agreed.
So what does it matter what he thinks of the body? If it, you know, like what, like, so I just want to make sure I'm clarifying that. Some people might be like, well, it matters what my husband thinks about my body. I mean, again, yeah, sure, to a certain extent, but like, there's an end point to this. There's a point where there's not more you can do and you're already shouldering a ton of the work in this process, right?
Yes. And I, you know, it's interesting because I ask my married friends that are in larger bodies, like, what is your, like, what does your husband say? What is your husband? And they're like, oh, he's fine. And I'm like, that's amazing. Like, how'd you get there? And how is that the truth? And, you know, I think that comparison isn't good either. And I know you're going to tell me that.
Interesting conversation. I think it's an interesting conversation because the majority of women that I work with will report that their partners are like, I love you in whatever body you're in. And they don't want to believe it. They don't want to, they won't internalize it and accept it and like be good with it, you know?
I can see that too.
Yeah.
I can see that too.
They're like, I don't believe you.
I love what you're saying about part of it's on him. And I have thought about having this conversation with him and saying, look, I need you to try to see me and other people in larger bodies with new eyes, like fresh eyes. Mm-hmm. Because I think the belief is that anyone could be thin if they just do the right thing.
Yeah.
Like, hello, everyone should be thin. So what are they doing that's making them not thin? Mm-hmm. And I believe that as well. Henceforth, the restriction my whole life. And for him to have fresh eyes, a new perspective and say, not just me, but look at everyone. Like, look at everyone in life and try to see that we're all in different bodies for a reason, and try to see things that are good about them and attractive about them and beautiful about them in a different way.
Yeah. And maybe just expanding what makes somebody desirable or attractive, because like, I'm trying to think of a way to word this. I feel like this goes negative and I don't want to go negative, but there are definitely thin women who've been in relationships where their partner is not attracted to them. So weight is not the sole definer of chemistry and attractiveness. And there are women in all shapes and sizes of bodies that have partners who are lusting after them. And so there's something else involved in this situation. And part of it is, you know, part of it, I think, is being exposed to a wider variety of bodies. And like you said, looking for the beauty in them. And I think also, so this is where there's a little piece that I think as individuals, we can take on some work if we want to. It's that there's also been a lot of evidence that in heterosexual relationships, as far as I know in the research, like men feel attracted to or turned on by women who are turned on, and women are turned on by feeling turned on, like different.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So one of the things that I will work with women on is what makes you feel sexy and desirable? And it's a really interesting question that most women have never thought of outside of the male gaze. So what does a man think when he's looking at me?
Mm-hmm.
But instead, the task or the experiment or the homework, maybe for summer, because it's a, you know, summer is such a season of sensuality, is to like, when do I feel sexy? Like, just, this is like such a simple example, but like, I was feeling kind of blah in my body. And I realized that like, one of the things that makes me feel really like sexier in my body is wearing shorts, like cut off shorts. And I know that that's really different. A lot of women are like, oh my God, never in a million years. I don't want to wear shorts. For me, it's one of my, so I just pulled out my shorts and I started wearing them, you know, like kind of figuring out what are the things for you that make you feel good in your body, thinking about how you want to feel in your body, exploring self-care. And again, I don't want to say that like, you know, obviously we want to get to this point where no matter what our bodies look like and no matter how we're taking care of them, we're respecting our bodies. But I know that I definitely can shift how I feel in my body based on how I'm caring for my body.
Mm-hmm.
So taking notice, what are the things that like move me closer to how I want to feel in my body? And what are the things that I do that move me further away from that? And like just working to conjure that feeling in yourself, because I feel like you said, like your husband already notices. When you feel different in your body, he sees it differently.
For sure. And that could really, the day that he said that, I was like, that's it. That's the theme, you know, is if I'm vibrant and not hiding and not worried about what he's thinking of me, then he is with me. Like we're connected more.
Yeah.
But if I'm shut down and thinking I'm going to hide because I don't like the way that I look, then how can he access me at all?
Yeah. And the tricky thing is that that information that you've gotten from him, you know, I was listening to this podcast with, Mel Robbins. And she was talking about the fact that, you know, I'm sure you've heard this before, but it's however many millions of pieces of information our brain takes in every day. But obviously we cannot process all of that information. So our brain gets really good at shutting out all the pieces of information that are not considered important and focusing on the pieces of information that are. And we can see how we can refocus our attention just by like whatever the last car is that you bought. For us, it was a silver Volvo. Once we bought that car, I saw silver Volvos everywhere. I had never seen a silver Volvo in my life, but all of a sudden that became an important piece of information. And so my brain started to focus on it. And so you got this piece of information that, and especially a piece of information that's negative or threatens our safety and belonging and sense of like acceptance and love will make you want to focus on how bad your body is all the time. And so yes. It is a monumental piece of work to continue to shut that down and nip it in the bud. Like, I've been doing this for myself over the past couple of weeks. Like, just every time that bad thing comes up, that bad thought, I'm like, this is not relevant or helpful to me. What is helpful to me? What do I need right now to feel good in the skin that I'm in my today body? What do yes. I need right now? And then I refocus on that. It is a mental marathon, but I would rather spend my time refocusing, reframing, shifting what my brain is focusing on, because it's going to want to keep pulling you back and making you think that this is the most important piece of information, even when there's all kinds of other pieces of information out there that could be proven to the contrary.
Yeah.
So we have to like wrap this up, but I just want to just quickly summarize. So the things are, first and foremost, looping our partners into actually doing the work. I think it's taking back our power by stopping asking other people what they think about our bodies. Figuring out or experimenting with or being open to figuring out what you need to actually feel sexy and desirable and juicy and like good in your own body. And that's a whole, like I said, it's a whole experimental process, because most people have never considered, no, what makes me feel like that?
Right.
Not what makes me look it to other people, but what makes me feel amazing in my body. I mean, cold plunges, I'm sure you've seen me talk about that. It's not for everybody, but it's one of those things that makes me feel like that. And it was so interesting, because when I went to, we were in England last year, and I have no bucket list. The only thing that was on my bucket list was to go swimming in the Hampstead Heath ponds, which have been around for, you know, over 100 years, and they're these cold water ponds. And so I rocked up to it the first time to go swimming in this cold water pond. And the woman at the front gate was really funny. She was sort of like a loud, you know, like East London kind of woman. And she was like, uh-huh. Well, you know, it just makes me feel so sexy being in the cold water. Like, she just sort of, and I was like, oh my God, me too. She's like, yeah, I go in, I'm not going to stop with a bad accent, but like, she's like, I go in every day because it changes how I feel about myself in my body. And I was like, right. Oh my God, me too. So we can find these things. It doesn't have to be cold water. It could be many things, but we have to experiment, I think, to find it.
Yes.
And then, yeah. And then that mental marathon of shifting what we're focusing on every day, because there's lots of different pieces of information that are out there. They could help us feel differently in our bodies.
Yes.
But it's easy to get sucked into this other thing, this thing that says it's not good enough, you know? And on that note, a little extension of that, one thing that's always helpful to me is looking for expanders. And by that, I mean people who expand your understanding of what's possible for you. And mm-hmm. So again, if all you've ever known is I can only feel good in a small body, it's very difficult to sort of live something different. So actively looking for women who are like your size, larger, that you just like admire on Instagram, on social media, like this is where we can use social media to our benefit, right? And follow them, admire their fashion, find people who are interesting, who are living this like really good life, yeah. who are doing things that are really incredible in the bodies that they're in, and let them be an example, like let them hold that energy for you when you can't hold it for yourself.
Yeah, great idea. Yeah. I have done a lot of that. And it was enlightening for me. And I noticed a lot of fat phobia coming up for me when I first started. I was like, and now I'm like, wow, look at Tess Holliday. She is amazing. You know, like, look at all of these women, and they live it day after day after day. It's not just like, look at this one picture. It's, this is me all the time. Mm-hmm. And I love that. Mm-hmm. And I do that. And I feel like that might be a task for my husband, you know, like,
yeah.
Let's take a look at these amazing people and the amazing lives that they live, no matter what they look like.
Right, right. Yeah. And seeing what it pulls up in him. Because you're right, that happens to so many women. They're like, oh my God, I hate to admit this, but I started this exercise you gave me and it pulled up all these awful feelings. And I'm like, right, we're unearthing the internalized fat phobia that you're carrying around. Yeah, yeah. And that's like an ongoing process. So Is that helpful or any last
very,
thoughts?
Very helpful. Yeah. Especially, I mean, the four things that you said, but especially having him do some of the work, you know, because why is it, and it is a heavy for me. It's not just, oh, I think about it once in a while. It is heavy. And having him take some of that load and hold it with me, you know, and at least explore, invite him to just explore it.
Yeah. I love that.
It's really helpful. And I really appreciate all that you do for us with Healthy-ish, because it's amazing.
Amazing. Thank you. Thanks for coming on and sharing. You.